The following is a Reels Channel and Podcast One production, available on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com.
This program contains graphic violence and sexual situations. Viewer discretion is advised. A celebrity doctor and best-selling author of The Scarsdale Diet is brutally slain in his mansion, the victim of 4 gunshot wounds. His killer, a jilted lover, admits to firing the fatal shots, but insists the crime was in fact a suicide attempt gone horribly wrong.
Jean's life was falling apart. She was failing in her job. She was failing in her relationship.
He was single. He was a cardiologist. He was a celebrity.
In terms of fidelity, he wouldn't make the top 10.
Lynn Triforos was Dr. Tarnauer's medical assistant.
I'm younger. I'm hotter.
It is sad. It is tragic. But most women just don't go out and, you know, shoot the guy that does it to them.
It's a twisted tale of passion, betrayal, and fate that culminates into one of the most bizarre crime scenes ever recorded, and shocking autopsy photos never before seen by the public.
Well, there's nothing worse a human being could do. Take another human being's life in the name of love.
You loved him to the bitter end.
I just wanted you to be nice to me.
Meet Jean Harris.
Jean Harris.
A woman living in the shadow of her lover's celebrity until murder made her famous. Westchester County, New York, March 10th, 1980. 56-year-old Jean Harris drives through a raging thunderstorm. A police cruiser passes her with lights flashing, and she turns her car around and follows it back to a large, upscale estate.
Hurry, hurry! He's being shot!
You know who lives here, ma'am?
Yes, Dr. Herman Tarnauer. Hurry!
They enter the residence, climb the stairs, and enter the master bedroom, where a man is bleeding from 4 bullet wounds.
Hi.
Stay back, ma'am. What's your name?
Jean Harris.
How do you know this man?
I'm his girlfriend.
We're going to need EMS. Male victim appears to have multiple gunshot wounds.
Do you know who did this?
Yes.
Who?
Me.
The murder of celebrity cardiologist Herman Tarnauer, author of the famed Complete Scarsdale Medical Diet, was front page headlines in 1980.
The headmistress of an expensive private school was arrested and charged with murder.
Journalist Elizabeth Weymouth.
Well, he was just a doctor in Scarsdale, which is nothing particularly great, but he wrote this diet book, which caught on like wildfire.
Senior crime reporter Steve Helling.
That book was huge in its time, and it turned Herman into basically that era's Dr. Oz.
It's simple. It's safe. It's satisfying.
He was on all the TV shows. Everybody knew who he was. And the Scarsdale diet was synonymous with kind of rich upper crust people just trying to keep in shape by eating more grapefruit.
Until that fateful night, few had ever heard of his lover of 14 years, Jean Harris, who admitted to shooting the doctor on a stormy night in wealthy Westchester County, New York. The crime spawned numerous books and films, including HBO films Mrs. Harris, starring Annette Bening and Oscar winner Ben Kingsley.
Let me just sit with you a while before I blow my brains out.
Jean grows up in upscale Shaker Heights outside Cleveland.
She was from a middle-class family, and basically the biggest decision of her life was chocolate or vanilla. So I think that tells you that she was a very, you know, insulated person, right?
After college, she marries Jim Harris and has 2 sons, but this marriage ends unsuccessfully.
Features editor Carol Caffin.
She had the white picket fence, and she had, depending on how you define good, a good marriage, but she was bored. She was very, very intelligent, and she needed intellectual stimulation.
After divorcing her husband, Jean begins teaching at the Springside School for Girls in Philadelphia, where she begins to develop a reputation as a strict disciplinarian. One fateful evening, she attends a dinner party in New York, also attended by renowned playboy Dr. Herman Tarnauer.
He looks like an Egyptian pharaoh.
Exotic, isn't he? Rumor has it that he's endowed with great treasures, if you know what I mean. Oh, there's the McSheehans. Excuse me for a second.
What is it?
Kasumatsu.
I beg your pardon?
Rotten cheese from Sardinia.
Oh.
It's a delicacy.
Is it good?
No, it's disgusting.
No, thank you.
Dr. Herman Tarnow.
Jean Harris.
So you're the Jean that Marge talks about, huh?
She does.
You have the most beautiful pale blue eyes I think I've ever seen.
Thank you.
Sparks flew immediately, and maybe this man was the excitement that she was looking for.
Wait. What were you doing in the Urals?
Siberian elk. Yeah, trophy bull.
You shoot elk.
Yeah, elk, bear, tigers.
Tigers.
Yeah, there's really nothing like the hunt, Jean. Kind of makes a man feel primeval.
Well, here's to primeval.
Taken by her intelligence, striking looks, and pale blue eyes, Herman begins courting Jean. To her, the social climbing cardiologist is her knight in shining armor. They share a whirlwind romance, and he wines and dines her around the world.
He took her away on vacations, sort of luxurious vacations, to fancy places, to Palm Beach, to Nassau, introduced her to glitzy people. And obviously, like any woman, I suppose, she thought that was fun.
Retired Judge Russell R. Leggett.
She was his class. She was classy, and she knew how to handle people. She knew how to be a lady, so to speak.
Thank you. Have a fantastic evening.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, what is this?
After a few short months, Herman, a lifelong bachelor, presents Jean with an engagement ring.
You proposing to me?
I want to share everything with you, Jean. I mean, that must be love, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think so.
Then it's settled.
Jean Harris's friend, Arlene Levkov.
She thought she was going to get engaged to him and married to him. He did give her a big diamond ring, but it never went any further. That kept her in place for him when he needed her. She was by his side the whole time. I mean, she was.
Deep breath, please.
But there is a downside to life with High, as he is affectionately called by those close to him.
Herman liked the ladies, and everybody knew it, including Jean, who knew that in order to keep him, she was going to have to be okay with it. She was going to either have to ignore or accept the fact that he had multiple affairs.
In terms of fidelity, he wouldn't make the top 10.
She would drive up to see him, she would throw parties for him, and he never returned the favor.
He was a very tough man, and he was not nice to her. The reason he was with her, if you're going to ask that question, he was very smart, she was very, very bright, and he wanted someone very bright on his arm when he went to meetings and he went to major functions.
Jean Harris's friend, Eleanor Pam.
And she denied to herself that she was suffering. She denied to herself that she was being abased and demeaned and humiliated, but she knew it.
Don't you think we need to set a date, maybe? I mean, school will be starting soon, and I need to know where I'm living.
Jean.
Yes?
I can't go through with it.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know you deserve better than this.
Now, he put her through the ringer big time. And she kept taking it and taking it and taking it.
I've come to the realization that it's not for me. I'm sorry.
And that's it?
I do love you, Jean. And I want you to keep the ring.
But surprisingly, Jean continues her relationship with Herman even after he ends the engagement, allowing Herman the freedom he desires.
She was so in love with him and ultimately wanted him under any conditions.
Meanwhile, Jean becomes head of the extremely prestigious Madera School for Girls in McLean, Virginia.
The students complained that she was very strict, which, of course, students generally don't like, and that she had terrible temper eruptions.
Make no mistake, ladies, if alcohol is being consumed on these premises, I will find out. And I don't think you're going to like what happens next. Am I in any way being ambiguous?
No, ma'am.
And Kimberly?
Yes?
Come to school without a bra again. I'll have you expelled.
But within 2 years, Madera's reputation is suffering, and a performance report recommends Jean's dismissal.
There was a lot of controversy, apparently. Some girls liked her, some girls didn't. Some people thought she was too strict. Some parents complained, some students complained. I would say she wasn't a huge hit at Madera.
Paranoid and under great stress, she begins doubting her own self-worth. To quell Jean's gradually worsening depressive episodes, Herman, her long-distance lover, liberally prescribes amphetamines and barbiturates for her.
He was prescribing her a drug called desoxin.
Defense attorney Joel Arnoux.
Which on the street you would know as speed, to sort of brighten her day.
What in the world was he doing, you know, prescribing these things for her? Nevertheless, you could look at it the other way. What in the world was she doing taking these things?
She began the road of taking pills to sleep, to stay awake. It was a vicious cycle.
Meanwhile, Jean's being away only fuels Herman's playboy lifestyle.
Now, there's a trophy I think I'd like to have on my wall.
She's a little young for you, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I guess you could be right. Maybe half my age might be better, huh?
His girlfriend is now hundreds and hundreds of miles away. So what's he going to do? He can play the field even more.
You know, she says, I knew that High had other women, and that was fine, but it never was fine.
Jean Harris is near the breaking point, and her wrath will be something no one sees coming. While in a long-distance relationship with school headmistress Jean Harris, renowned cardiologist and future author and celebrity Herman Tarnauer can't seem to suppress his playboy lifestyle. Jean is hundreds of miles away when Herman's young blonde assistant, Lynn Triforos, catches his eye.
Lynn Triforos was a very attractive woman. She was much younger than Jean, obviously much younger than High.
Jean Harris is no longer around every day, and so he starts seeing someone else.
Although Herman continues to see Jean romantically, he chooses to publicly flaunt his new relationship with Lynn Triforos in front of her when he invites them both to one of his parties.
Herman had played around, and everybody knew it, but this wasn't just a one-night stand. This was a new relationship, a relationship that could come as a threat to Jean.
And Lynn Triforos apparently is very, very caring. She loves him. She really cares about him. And, you know, there she is every day. And Jean Harris finds out about this, and it drives her crazy.
I don't think your being here is appropriate.
Why not?
Because I'm here.
Well, I think you're mistaking me for someone who cares what you think. Take it up with High. Excuse me.
But Jean still does not break up with Herman. To make matters worse, she lives 5 hours away from the love of her life, toiling away at a school that increasingly devalues her. In her free time, she travels from Virginia to Herman's home in New York to help him write his soon-to-be best-selling diet book.
The Scarsdale diet book. She worked on that as a full partner.
He figured out the diet, what the grapefruit will do and how it'll burn calories and how it'll reduce fat, but she put it into language.
The Complete Scarsdale Medical Diet is published and hits bestseller lists, selling nearly 3 million copies.
It was a hit. I mean, everybody had it. I grew up in Philadelphia and my mom had it.
It was wildly popular. And he became sort of a celebrity. When he went places, people recognized him from being on TV shows. So he you know, became even more sought after.
But Jean feels she is minimized in the book's acknowledgments.
One of the devastating things that he did to her was not give her the credit that was due her.
She thought maybe she'd be credited as a co-author. But no, she just got a name inside the book that basically said, thanks for your help.
Herman is now a celebrity, a very rich one. He maintains his relationship with Jean Harris. But while she is away at Madera in Virginia, he flaunts his young new girlfriend at social events and in the presence of Jean's friends, publicly humiliating her.
He had many dinner parties, and Jean was not invited to them, and Lynn Triforce was invited to them.
He used to take her on Christmas vacations, then he took Lynn on Christmas vacations, and she found out about it. So obviously, she was just very upset about this.
Meanwhile, Lynn takes out an ad in the New York Times to wish Herman a happy new year. The humiliation is more than Jean can stand.
She wanted everybody to know that she was the new woman and that Jean was history.
She was very angry about Lynn Triforce, and I think the replacement she didn't feel was worthy of Herman Tarnower. That stuck in her craw, I think.
But there were these two women who were willing to fight for him, and his ego loved that.
A chance encounter with a polygamist cab driver gives Herman an idea.
So you're telling me that you have two wives?
Yes.
So why do you need two, huh?
When you have two wives, they both work harder to please you.
The information sits well with Herman, who begins openly pitting Jean and Lynn against each other.
She actually told me that my presence at the party was inappropriate.
So what did you say?
I told her to take it up with you. I don't know why you keep stringing that old witch along when you could have me all by myself.
It's complicated, Lynn.
What's complicated about it? I'm younger, I'm hotter, and I know how to make a cardiologist's heart race.
Yes, you do.
So, how about a little workout, Doctor? Hello?
Lynn begins taunting Jean by calling her at all hours.
Hello?
Although Jean reciprocates in her own way, the torment is becoming too much to bear. 18 months prior, Jean Harris had purchased a revolver, later claiming it was for her own personal protection.
Would you like a quick lesson on how to load and unload it?
No, thank you.
Are you sure?
In buying the revolver, Jean neglects to ask the gun dealer how to eject the shells once the weapon is fired, something that will soon have critical repercussions. Herman begins to grow bored with the constant battle for his affections.
I think his feelings for her were waning because Jean was becoming, honestly, a pain to him.
It was over, but she didn't feel that way.
Rumors begin to fly that Herman will take Lynn to his lifetime achievement dinner instead of his longtime love.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, you too. All right, buddy. Bye-bye. 2 million copies, Gene. And he says that we're going to hit 3 before it's over.
It's wonderful news, hi.
Yeah, well, I couldn't have done it without you, you know.
Apparently you couldn't have done it without Lynn either.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about your lifetime achievement award dinner. You invited that little slut instead of me?
Look, that is enough, Gene.
It is not enough, damn it! I will not be humiliated. I deserve better than this.
Look, it's over.
What?
I can't take any more of this jealousy, all right? It's done.
You can't just drop me like some bad habit. I have devoted 14 years of my life to you, you son of a bitch.
Get out. Get out before I throw you out.
No.
Just days before his murder, Herman will tell a friend he is writing a new book. This one titled, How to Live Longer and Enjoy Life More.
When she was told not to come for this dinner, that truly did her in. That did her in.
Meanwhile, at the Madera School for Girls, things are going badly for Jean Harris. A rigid disciplinarian, she expels four girls for possessing marijuana seeds, and both the parents of the girls and other students become enraged.
The Madera School was a very high-class, you know, private school, and for these girls to get expelled was a bad thing because it involved graduation. They were seniors.
Things went from bad to worse at work. And she learned the hard way that you don't mess with socialite families. You don't mess with these rich people. And people were demanding that she gets fired.
What do you mean, sit in?
They're out for blood, Jean. You expelled four girls and their parents are pissed off.
They had marijuana seeds. What do they expect?
Well, the other girls refused to go to class. And I can't make them until all this is straightened out.
I don't understand. What did I do wrong?
I don't know, Jean. You tell me.
She has lost control of the school and herself.
The reality was she was taking drugs, and she had expelled them for drugs.
Jean runs out of prescription drugs.
Dr. Tarnauer had Jean on a lot of medication. You can't just come down off of those medications and stop taking them. And he hadn't sent them.
On Saturday, March 8th, Jean writes a letter to Herman and sends it registered mail days later. It will become known as the Scarsdale Letter, and its contents, once revealed, will stun prosecutors, the media, and the world.
And she sat down and wrote a terrible letter, a terrible, terrible letter. Tells you how bright she was, because the letter was written magnificent.
And it was such solid evidence of her insane jealousy of Lynn Triforos.
And when you're in love, rationality is out the window, and she was no different. She was madly in love with him.
But Jean has second thoughts about the letter and calls Herman on Monday the 10th, begging him to throw it away without reading it the moment it arrives.
I made a mistake. When it arrives, just throw it away, okay, please? I'm so sorry.
But she knows he will read it anyway, and that is something she is determined to stop.
I think that she saw herself through what he might be looking at, which was an aging woman, and I think she took that to every level of her experience. I think it just reached a climax.
Jean loads her revolver. She fires a single test round, an act she will regret in the hours to come. And what plays out is truly stranger than fiction.
Murder Made Me Famous. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
If you're struggling to get a good night's sleep, try a Purple mattress. Purple is a leading comfort tech company that uses cutting-edge science to create the world's most comfortable sleep and sit products. Purple was founded over 25 years ago by two brothers, developing pressure-relieving technology that made wheelchairs and medical beds more comfortable for patients. Along the way, they invented the Smart Comfort Grid, a patented comfort technology behind Purple products. In 2016, they decided to use that technology to create the world's first no-pressure bed, and the Purple mattress, as we know it, was born. Most mattresses use memory foam, an outdated technology developed way back in the 1960s. Memory foam traps body heat and provides inconsistent support, which is why you can wake up sweaty and uncomfortable. The Purple Smart Comfort Grid is scientifically engineered to adapt to any body type or sleeping position. It works by actively cradling your shoulders and hips while gently supporting your back for a unique zero-gravity-like feel. It also helps you sleep cool with a breathable, open-grid design and temperature-neutral materials that don't absorb heat. The Purple has a very unique feel. It's soft where you want it and firm where you need it for balanced comfort and support, whether you sleep on your back, side, or stomach. And it comes in three different comfort levels, so you can choose exactly how firm or soft you want it to be. And it comes with a 100-night risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund with free shipping and returns. backed by a 10-year warranty, and with free in-home setup and old mattress removal. You're going to love Purple. And right now, our listeners will get a free sheet set and mattress cover with your mattress purchase. Just go to purple.com/famous. That's purple.com/FAMOUS. purple.com/famous.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner. Or go to podcastone.com/mysurvey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/mysurvey. Or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.
This program contains graphic violence and sexual situations. Viewer discretion is advised.
Get out before I throw you out.
Scorned by her celebrity lover, failing at her career, and suffering from amphetamine withdrawals, Jean Harris carries out what she believes will be her final act of love and desperation. She brings with her a loaded gun and a bouquet of flowers.
You know, she was clearly very, very upset and very angry. And I guess the tragedy is that she allowed herself to act out her emotions.
Jean packs extra bullets and begins her 5-hour drive to Dr. Herman Tarnow. As evening falls, it begins to rain heavily.
That night that she drove up, I remember that night like it was yesterday. It was the most horrendous, pouring, terrible night. In her mental state, she was a total disaster.
And knowing Jean Harris, this is the way I think she was processing. I'm going to make a big scene. I'm going to tell him I'm killing myself. He's going to say, oh, no, no, Jean, I love you. And somehow or other, that would bring her back into his heart. Didn't work out that way, obviously.
Doing here? Go away.
We need to talk.
It's the middle of the night.
When she went into the bathroom and found Lynn Triforce's nightgown, her hair rollers, her makeup, she went literally berserk. She went crazy.
What the hell are you doing?
I just wanted you to be nice to me.
Jesus, Jane. You shot me.
Exactly how Herman was shot 2 more times. Jean herself would later testify that her memory was incomplete. But ballistics tell a tale.
I can give her that first shot could have been an accident. fine. But when you shoot two more shots into him afterwards, that's not an accident. That was on purpose.
Of five rounds in the gun, one had previously been fired by Jean as a test round.
There's one bullet left in the gun. She holds the gun to her head, pulls the trigger, click.
Jean put the gun to her head and fired on the only empty chamber in the gun. Truth is stranger than fiction.
It is speculated that previously rotating the chamber resulted in a dead round being queued up when Jean attempts to shoot herself.
So she looks at the gun, she points it, she shoots it, it goes off.
The last live round thudded into a cabinet next to the bed. She put the gun back to her head and pulled the trigger four more times. She's still trying to kill herself. And she's got lots more shells in her pocket, but she doesn't know how to empty the gun.
Would you like a quick lesson on how to load and unload it?
In frustration, she starts banging it against the tub, hoping that maybe the shells will come loose.
And the cylinder fell out. She couldn't get it back in.
Herman is lying in a pool of his own blood. Jean realizes what she's done and runs out to get help.
As Jean Harris drives away from the crime scene, she sees a police cruiser with lights flashing heading toward Herman's estate. She turns her car around and follows the police to the residence.
Hurry! Hurry! He's been shot! He's
you know
hurt!
Who left,
yes, yes! Dr. Herman Turnauer!
If she was running away, she would have kept going. She went back to the house.
Hi.
Do you know who did this?
Yes.
Who?
Me. I was trying to kill myself.
The ambulance took a heck of a long time. If they had him there 10 minutes earlier, he would have lived.
Jean will confess to the crime, insisting it was a suicide attempt gone wrong.
Her attorney tried to argue that it was suicide. But, I mean, that's a very hard case to make. It's hard to imagine that she drove all that way in order to commit suicide.
With her arrest comes a media explosion.
The headmistress of an expensive private school was arrested and charged with murder.
I turned on the local channel, and there they showed a picture of Jean Harris. It blew me away.
Jean Harris's friend, Barbara Treen.
There's nothing worse a human being could do. Take another human being's life in the name of love. Imagine going for a reconciliation and ending up with a murder.
Both tabloids and mainstream press are fascinated by the high-profile crime.
This is a rich celebrity doctor in Scarsdale who's shot and killed by a jealous, spurned lover. The media couldn't get enough of this.
But the most infamous piece of evidence has yet to be revealed.
The Scarsdale letter came out, and everything she had written in anger was now going to be read in open court.
In November 1980, 57-year-old headmistress Jean Harris stands trial for the murder of her lover and celebrity physician, Dr. Herman Turnauer. What follows is a frenzied and morbid fascination in the media as the sordid details of the case unfold.
People tuned in because I think there was probably an identity. I think it was a peephole into their life, certainly.
Even though she confesses to the murder, prosecutors are worried about a potential battered women's defense in which female jurors could be sympathetic.
Everybody was in sync with her, and many people said to me, I'd kill him myself if I were her.
I think the abuse was in betrayal, was in flaunting it. There are no visible or physical marks, but there's humiliation, there's intimidation, there's fear of losing your relationship, and I think she was just shamed and found it hard to live with herself.
These prosecutors weren't stupid, so they figured there might be women on the jury who would be sympathetic to Jean Harris just because their husbands had done them wrong and they might want to give her the doubt.
I'm talking in terms of being a female, and I hope she gets away with it.
The prosecutors actually told us that they were happy to make a deal with Arno, her defense lawyer.
The prosecution offers what should be an easy deal. Confess to the killing, and Jean gets off with a light sentence for manslaughter. Or go to trial, where she risks a life sentence if she loses.
This is not like a small deal. This is like life in prison, okay? That's a big roll of the dice. That's like going to Las Vegas and you're really going to shoot it all.
Jean decides to take her chances with the trial.
She insisted on all or nothing. And I think that's a call that's inexcusable, actually.
Her intelligence interfered with her dealing with her lawyer. I might say she was too smart for herself.
The trial lasts 14 weeks, one of the longest in state history.
I went into the trial and I took one look at Mrs. Harris and said, God, this could be my mother. She is elegant. She is classy. She's 99 pounds. I just couldn't believe she's on trial for murder. And I ended up going to the trial for 12 weeks.
When she presented herself at the trial, she really did a big disservice to herself because she did come off as very arrogant and snooty and uppity. And just her body language, if you didn't know anything about the story, you'd say, I don't like her.
The press sensationalized the trial and made Jean Harris a household name from coast to coast.
Jean liked talking to the press, and I disliked her talking to the press. I did not want Jean talking. It was not in her interest.
It's important to me, and it's important to High, too, to know that certainly someone who loved him very much did not want to hurt him.
Judge Russell Leggett's courtroom was the hottest ticket in town.
It got to the point where the lobby was packed with people. I heard like a roar. It sounded like the surf rolling in on the beach. And when I take a look, it was all the people lined up after lunch waiting to get into the courtroom.
Even her wardrobe is up for discussion.
She was dressed in very sort of expensive clothes and very, I would say, clothes you might not wear if you were on trial for murder. Not very smart if you're trying to win the hearts of the jurors.
Juror Mary Nichols.
I think she felt she was probably better than a lot of people were. I think she was arrogant.
But what people didn't see was Jean Harris, the mother, Jean Harris, the mentor, that she tutored students, that she loved children. I mean, she killed someone. She killed the man. But that should not define who she was.
Jean takes the stand in her own defense and maintains that this was a suicide attempt gone wrong.
Jean shouldn't have taken the stand. Her lawyer told her, don't take the stand. But nobody told Jean Harris what to do.
I could not get her to understand that it was better for her not to testify.
But she, being a very strong-willed woman, said this is the way it's going to be. That may have been a mistake.
It boomeranged on her. It opened the door to the Scarsdale letter.
The Scarsdale letter came out, and everything she had written in anger was now going to be read in open court.
They argued over the letter forever, and then, of course, when the prosecutor read it, people were falling over on the ground. Unbelievable, the language. Terrible.
I wouldn't even repeat it. She used terrible language. Terrible language. Very arrogant.
In it, Jean chronicles the many wrongs she feels Herman has dealt her. She repeatedly calls Lynn vulgar names.
The Scarsdale letter, in which she called Lynn Triforos a slut and a whore and this and that, I think that letter is what did her in. It showed her as a jealous, scorned woman, which is everything she said she wasn't.
From the jury's standpoint, this letter was written by a woman who had been publicly humiliated and was ready for revenge.
If that letter was never read, I believe there would have been a different outcome.
What is also devastating to Jean Harris's suicide attempt defense is the presentation of autopsy photographs showing the many bullet wounds sustained by Dr. Tarnauer. These photos have never been publicly released and are seen here for the first time.
She came from Virginia. She took 100 bullets with her. She had a revolver with her, okay? And she went up there and went into his room and started blazing away. So the issue of intent doesn't have to be 3 days. It doesn't have to be 3 hours. It doesn't have to be 3 months. It can happen in the snap of a finger.
We argued, we talked about, and we finally came to a decision. And I was the one that spoke up and said, you have to be sure about this. Otherwise, we declare a mistrial, whatever. But you have to be sure in your heart. You don't pussyfoot around and you don't try and say, well, maybe this could happen. Well, maybe this was. No. You have to be very sure.
They find Jean Harris guilty of second-degree murder.
She was convicted. I was totally hysterical. I just could not believe that this jury put this woman away.
But Jean was so protective of Tarnauer that she harmed herself at the trial because she was still protecting his reputation.
She was just too proud, didn't want to be seen as a woman who had allowed herself to be battered.
And she wouldn't allow the drug to be part of her defense. And if she had, it would have been a completely different kind of charge, a different kind of result.
I'd say that's the key to her going away for life. It was her arrogance or her stupidity, one or the other.
With the guilty verdict, Harris is ineligible to inherit $220,000. Herman leaves her in his will. Her sentencing, however, will be as controversial as the crime. And it won't be long before a convicted murderer is back among society. Jean Harris is confined to the Bedford Hills Correctional Facility for Women in Westchester County, New York, for a term of 15 years to life. At first, adjusting to prison life isn't easy.
Jean was never institutionalized the way the other inmates were. She really was kind of an odd duck in that prison. She remained quintessentially Jean Harris.
I don't lie and cheat and sleep around or do any of the things that go on around here all the time. But I talk back.
She couldn't stand the stupidity in prison that went on. She had no tolerance for it. And in the beginning, she wasn't nice. And they were terrible to her. Then she gave in. She said, well, look, I'm here for 15 years. I might as well just accept it. And then people got to like her. And she did unbelievable wonders in the prison.
She becomes, in essence, the headmistress of Bedford Hills.
Jean did incredible things there. Made tapes for women to send home to their children.
And she also created a nursery for the newborns. Newborn babies who are born while the mother is in prison are allowed to stay for a year. So she created a nursery.
And she made it her job to establish reading for them, to have visits with their children.
Does it make up for taking someone's life? Nothing makes up for taking someone's life, but she did so much good afterward. And that became her life's work. That became her passion.
It's ironic that before she killed Herman, that Jean's life was falling apart and that she was failing in her job, she was failing in her relationships. And once she went to jail, she started creating these programs, creating a nursery in the jail, all these things that were a success that really did make a difference and a positive difference in people's lives.
Many women, young mothers especially, are being sent to prison for minor nonviolent crimes. My reason for being here is to speak in behalf of their children, especially their infants.
I wrote, you know, letters on behalf of her. I said, she's done her time. I said, she's not a threat to anyone except the one she's got rid of.
Women's rights groups champion her cause, and after 12 years in prison, Governor Mario Cuomo commutes her sentence and she is released in 1992.
She did have 3 heart attacks, and finally Mario Cuomo gave her clemency, finally.
After she was released from prison, it's almost like the society pages welcomed her back with open arms.
She is interviewed by Barbara Walters and others.
Barbara Walters became a good friend of hers. Joan Rivers interviewed her. Joan bought her a golden retriever. Everybody who met her loved her, which is unbelievable. People just adored her.
I went to a party at Kurt Vonnegut's house with her and all the beautiful people in the Hamptons. And she was the star of the show, you know, somebody who just got out of prison. It was a big deal. Everybody wanted to be there and be around her.
And in 2005, Jean's story is made into an HBO film, Mrs. Harris, starring Annette Bening and Ben Kingsley.
I thought you'd leave a lamp in the window. It's black as pitch out there.
It's the middle of the night.
For 20 more years, Jean will stick to her story of suicide gone wrong.
What was your plea? Did you say I did it?
Never. No. I was certainly responsible for High's death. If I hadn't gone there, he might still be alive today.
On December 23rd, 2012, she dies of natural causes in an assisted living center in New Haven, Connecticut, at age 89.
She never wanted to be pitied, and she did some really great things, and I don't think she should be remembered solely as the Scarsdale Diet Dr. Killer.
And in fact, if you look at her story, she's not a role model for women because she was basically Tarnow's doormat for all those years.
No, I certainly don't think she has a legacy. I don't think there's anything about Jean Harris to emulate. I don't think it's good to kill people, even if they've stood you up or whatever, or dumped you for a younger woman.
Was Jean Harris the victim of an abusive and adulterous lover, as feminist groups who champion her contend? Or was she, as the media painted her, a woman scorned who was determined to snuff out the life of an innocent man?
It's Dr. Tarnower she didn't talk about. If you mentioned his name, she would cry. She loved him to the bitter end. She did.
I think about him constantly. It's one of the reasons I don't care if I get out, actually.
She told me directly, you know, I still love him. So it was really a kind of fascinating, sad, tragic story.
The tragedy is we all know many women this has happened to. And it is sad. It is tragic. But most women just don't go out and, you know, shoot the guy that does it to them. She did. That's the difference.
The debate continues to this day.
What she was looking for was excitement and interesting people and intellectual equals. And she found it in Herman Tarnower. And then she killed him.
She was definitely in love with him, but I also think there was an element of obsession on her part. She really wanted to own him, and she could never own him.
That concludes this episode of Murder Made Me Famous. Don't forget to go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, for clips, extras, and more. And check out new episodes every Saturday on the Reels channel. Don't forget to subscribe on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts. One third of all murder cases in America remain open.
He had told me that if I opened my eyes, he would slit my throat.
Each one is called a cold case.
The DNA evidence taken from the victim was a match. The linen rapist was at it again.
Based on the hit A&E television program.
A phone call is placed, one that changes a family's life forever.
Cold Case Files, the podcast.
You could see the fire in his eyes. He screamed at me, "You want it? Get your tape recorder out."
Download new episodes every Tuesday on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts.